So good morning, everyone. So today I'd like to talk about outflow propagation in the progenitor in the context of gamma ray bursts. So these figures are examples of my numerical results. Left panel shows collimated outflow proceeding in the progenitor, and right panel shows expanding outflow like a spherical supernova explosion. So today I'd like to talk about why this difference is observed and how we can apply it to astrophysical phenomena. So gamma ray bursts are the most energetic phenomena in the sky. So the energy is 10 to the 50 watt to 53 Lux if the burst is astrotropic, and about 1,000 events per year are observed, and the duration is from a few microseconds up to a few thousand seconds. And light curves and duration differs each other like this. So here, these figures are from batch observation. And recent observations suggest the long burst, the origin of long burst is a supernova explosion. So that's the association of gamma ray burst and supernova explosion. So this is an example of GRB 030328. So here, so after the a few days after the burst, and after a month later, so you can see, so from power low component, it's also afterglow to supernova component. And recently, we have observed a new event. And so the explosion energy of supernova 1990 HBW, which was associated with gamma ray burst, is about 2 times 10 to the 52 Lux, so which is 10 times larger energy than that of normal explosion.
You have to be careful with this because it was a very aspherical supernova.
Uh-huh.
So Hilflich in 1999 showed that if you take aspericity into account, meaning more quantitatively, an isotropy in the velocity of a factor of 2 to 3, polar versus the equatorial direction, the total energy, kinetic energy, may have to be reduced by a factor of at least 4, perhaps 9.
Uh-huh.
So that although pronounced spherical, it may well be having a total kinetic energy which is comparable to a typical supernova.
This disagrees with Ken. Ken has looked into it as well. And were you working with Ken on that? I mean, I know
him, but
well, Ken said it reduces it by a factor of 2, not by more. So Ken's reduction is factor of 2.
And well, that's when you were saying 1990
APW? Yeah.
So the uncertainty then is a factor of 10. Would we agree on that?
No, I would then you have to say which theorists do you trust more, I think.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's the uncertainty.
Okay, so the characteristic of supernova is supernova produced very rich nickel mass. So the observation says about 0.5 solar masses nickel was produced. So here is Nomoto reported, so there is a branch of supernova which produces hypernova, and then so nickel mass produced nickel mass becomes so larger than normal, than that of normal one supernova.
That nickel mass you get just from the luminosity?
Oh, luminosity is
what you get. No, that nickel mass you say comes just from the luminosity.
Or? Yeah. Yes. So
from the light to spectrum.
Yeah, so the mass is... The nickel mass is derived from the luminosity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's uncertain because of the asymmetry. Yeah.
Well, that's why we
don't really, if you do it in the nebula phase, it's basically asymmetry is the one.
Yeah, but at that point, you get the same one, that's what I was getting at, if you get from the spectrum.
Yeah. So, okay, wait, how many of these have the nebular phase, Nicole?
No, mm-hmm. It's mainly IT, without
okay.
Yep.
Can I ask this is a simple question about them? Why are there?
There are only four or five supernovae above 20 solar masses on this figure. Is that observed? Yeah, here. Only ever been that many observed? I'm not sure. I don't know. So other guys, where are the other guys? So here were.
Well, in fact, at least supernova probably declared in a supernova. Okay, so these are just some samples that you've used. No, these are just some samples that you've used. Yeah, this is just, I think this is just examples. But there are additional supernovae that could go on this figure above 20 solar masses. Above or below? Above 20 solar masses.
Well, it's pretty hard.
Are those the only ones that have ever been observed above 20 solar masses, or are there more?
It's really hard to get the names of its masses. So these are the ones that maybe some of the answers, but I thought these are the only ones that Ken has done his analysis to get the masses of them. Now, there's certainly other papers where you can find, like Mario Hanman did for his thesis, a whole bunch of paper where he got a whole bunch of stars more massive than 20 solar masses, but I don't think that many people believe those masses.
I think these might be the best ones.
Yeah.
Even these have
Yeah.
But then also the whole bunch of type 1bc supernovae should essentially be above that range, but we have no clue.
Well,
we never analyzed them,
Yeah, that's right. So, it's a hard game to get the masses of the progenitor without seeing the progenitor before it explodes.
So the theory predicts the gamma ray burst begins with a highly thermal dominated plasma and expand as a reactive jet. So initially, so baryonless and high thermal dominated plasma, so it's a fireball as a central engine here. And then so it expands, but the expansion is not a spherical one. And just collimated outflow, and it should be highly reactivistic one. So Lorentz factor should be larger than 100. And then so propagating after some distances, the plasma becomes optically thin. Then so gamma rays emitted, and in later phase, so forward shock and reverse shock is formed, and afterglow is observed in X-ray to radio bands. But we have not fully understood what the central engine is, and how can we make highly relativistic collimated outflow. And Collapsa is a strong candidate of the central engine of the long duration gamma ray burst. So this hypothesis is observationally supported. So Collapsa is Collapsa model is a kind of core collapse supernova and highly aspherical explosion. So here is a schematic figure of the progenitor. Progenitor has from iron mass, silicon, and carbon oxygen. Sometimes so helium envelopes has gone by stellar wind. So when the ion core collapses, then so black hole or protoneutron star is formed in the center of the progenitor, and then so outer layers begin to free fall. And Due to rapidly rotation of the progenitor, an accretion gas is expected to form an accretion disk. And MHD and or neutron annihilation forms a bipolar jet, but this mechanism is not fully understood yet. But free fall time scale of these outer envelopes is the order of 100 seconds. But formed jet crossing time scale is expected to about 10 seconds. So this means the formed jet should propagate in the progenitor. And two types of approaches by relativistic hydrodynamic simulations have been performed. So those are so thermal energy deposition type and injected jet type. So left panel shows results by Aloy et al. 2000. So they assumed initially aspherical initial conditions. So so it means so the gas along the axis around the center of the progenitor is quite dilute because the gas freely drops to the center of the progenitor. Then they deposit thermal energy in the center of the progenitor. Then the deposited thermal energy, thermal dominated gas expands, but the density along this axis is quite high, and the density along this axis is dilute. Then, so the expansion occurs to polar axis. And this expanding outflow becomes a collimated jet and successfully elapses from the progenitor. And they got a maximum Lorentz factor about 40 in their calculations. And the other type of calculation is like this by Zhang et al. So they inject, so this is a polar axis here, and the time evolution of the calculations. So they inject the outflow from this boundary. So, and the injected outflow proceeds and forms the bow shocks. And in later phase, so, the outflow elapses from the progenitor and expands to the interstellar medium. And in their calculation, they got a maximum Lorentz factor about 100. But these calculations shows successful eruption of the relativistic jets from the progenitor. But these there still remain some issues because, so for example, there are similar phenomena to GRBs. So those are X-ray flashes and X-ray rich gamma ray bursts. So left panel shows light curve of one so gamma ray burst in different energy bands. So you can see signals in all energy bands here. On the contrary, here is a light curve of X-ray flash. So you can see signals in X-ray bands, but no remarkable signals in gamma ray bands. So the phenomena look like quite similar. So especially the different, so the difference is only the peak energy. And the event rate of X-ray flash is similar to those of gamma ray bursts. So there are several hypotheses to explain these to connect these phenomena. So one is off-axis model. So we just observe these events different viewing angle. So if we observe the relativistic jet on axis, then we observe it as gamma ray burst And if we observe it off-axis, then we observe it on X-ray flashes. And the other hypothesis claims the phenomena is the difference is just different opening angle. So gamma ray burst is quite highly collimated one, and X-ray flash is just wide opening angle afterflow, outflows. So to answer these questions, we have studied jet propagation by outflow injection model. So here is a numerical setup of our model. So this is a schematic figure of the half of progenitor here. Here is the center of the progenitor, and here is the surface of the progenitor. And the radius of the progenitor is about 4 times 10 to the 10th centimeters. And the blue region is a computational box. So the boundary is here, so slightly separated from the center of the progenitor. And here is the radiant mass profile of the progenitor. We adopt the progenitor developed by Hashimoto et al. The mass of the progenitor about 40 solar mass at the main sequence and 16 solar mass at the pre-supernova stage. And the boundary, the mass of the density of the boundary here is about 10 to the 6 gram centimeters. So it's still quite high density here. And our progenitor includes a helium envelope, but the difference of expanding and collimated feature discussed in later doesn't matter. So if we include this envelope or not, and we inject outflows, which is assumed to be parallel to the axis initially, so no opening angles. And we solve two-dimensional relativistic hydrodynamic equations, assuming ideal gas equation state. And specific heat ratio is assumed to be 4/3. And in this panel, I'd like to explain outflow conditions, injected outflow conditions. So we have done parametric study on injected outflow, varying kinetic and thermal energy of the injected outflow. So 4 parameters are necessary to define the outflow condition. And we fixed 2 of them. The first one is radius of the injected outflow to be 7 times 10 to the centimeter, 7 centimeter. And the second one is power of the injected outflow is to be 10 to the 51 electric per second. And this power includes both kinetic and thermal energy, and we follow up to 10 seconds injections. So then 10 seconds injection satisfies the explosion energy 10 to the 52 ergs. Then we vary other 2 parameters. Those are Young Lorentz factor and specific internal energy of injected outflow. So Young Lorentz factor characterizes the kinetic energy of the injected outflow, and specific internal energy characterizes thermal energy of the injected outflow.
Is the injection supersonic?
Yeah. So all the models are supersonic here.
For those, I mean, you have a total energy, so if you pick a gamma, doesn't that, the rest of the energy has to go into thermal? Or, like, are those two independent parameters, the gamma and the
thermal? Yeah.
But the E total is, the D and E T is fixed, right?
So yeah.
How, I mean, I have a total energy, I have an energy in kinetic, which is essentially gamma, or is it not? It's more than, I guess there's a mass.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's confusing the way it is written here, because if you have a block that is hot and you move it fast, then it is true there's an additional gamma entering as an additional factor on the thermal energy, because your epsilon is the internal energy as measured in the co-moving frame. And so when you split it up, the kinetic plus the thermal, it's not really well defined to write it in that fashion.
Yeah. So these,
Energy has an inertia, of course, once you start moving it very fast, it shows up an additional gamma. So it's better to write the kinetic plus the gamma times the internal thermal energy.
So on the using so these four parameters and we can derive also other physical conditions of injected jet such as so density or pressures. And here is a log scale density contours of on the specific energy versus on Lorentz factor plane. We don't define the temperature, but we can derive the temperature from specific internal energy here.
Do you have a typical value, though, or order of magnitude for a temperature down on the bottom?
We don't define the temperature, but. Okay, so.
As you said, it does follow. I just can't do the arithmetic.
Yeah. Okay, so. Here is the density contours. So, for example, these symbols show models studied here. So, for example, the model here is Lorentz factor is 5 and specific internal energy is 5. So, and then so the density is about a few tens gram per cubic centimeter. So, this model includes both high kinetic and thermal energy, so the density becomes low. And as the velocity decreases thermal energy decreases, then the density of the injected outflow becomes higher. So these models initially, we studied the Lorentz factor up to 5, but we studied the models so highly thermal dominated plasmas. So we can expect the plasma expands and energy conversion from thermal energy to kinetic energy occurs. So then we can get highly Lorentz factor component. So maximum Lorentz factor can be derived from energy conservation law like this. This equation is derived assuming free expansion. So this assumption is quite similar to the maximum explosion energy explosion velocity for the case of supernova explosion.
Does gravity not matter at all here?
Oh, we don't include both gravity of the central black hole and self-gravity because the free-fall time scale is quite longer than jet propagation time scale.
Then your intermediate is 7 to 10 seconds.
So what really determines the gamma max? I'm not sure. The gamma naught is something that you assume, and from that given to the gamma max, the final thing that you can get, you can't just keep making any gamma naught and getting any gamma max out of it, right?
Yeah.
So what really determines
in the real world?
Yes, yeah, I mean,
it's free.
Yeah, gamma box is depend on both.
This is a very clean model, which is no. For example, this is a leptonic wind. There is no baryonic pollution in this model.
So then, how do you determine gamma naught? Maybe so that you get it because you can.
No, it's your best guess. You just make it some formula.
But then in nature, there must be some limit.
Oh yeah, that's correct. That's correct.
Yeah, because we.
To find maximum gamma, and you have to go to either and or the small here, microscopic physics at the sensor, which is model dependent, to find the suitable gamma.
But there must be just energy consideration somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the gamma max isn't that's your result, I guess, which depends on the organic structure and stuff like that. So, yeah. The other case, that's gamma naught and epsilon naught.
Yeah, in this case, it just depends on gamma naught, but he's setting those parameters too, so there's no actual limit to gamma max.
Oh, yeah, so.
Since he's setting those two parameters also.
Yeah, since also the maximum Lorentz factor depends on both initial Black Lorentz factor and specific internal energy, so we chose so these parameters as a parameter.
So you can set it to whatever you want.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because we don't know so how the outflow is the mechanism of outflow formation. So we systematically studied varying so these parameters.
I think Mike Norman was, and his collaborators in the 80s, was one of the first to take this sort of ansatz, just take a slit, specify whatever you like to specify, and see what happens. Okay, without making any connection to the true inner energy.
Okay, I guess it's okay as long as you.
Yeah, by way of experiment.
It's okay. Yeah, so this highly thermal dominated plasma is expected to be gamma diverse. Of course, also these models cannot produce highly high Lorentz factor components. So these guys are expected to be supernova explosion. Yeah. So at first, I'd like to show numerical results of these models. These four models. So these four models are, so initial Black Lorentz factor are fixed to be 5, but different initial specific internal energy. So all models show collimated outflow. But maximum Lorentz factor differs each other because initial thermal energy are different. So the outflow can keep the collimated structure and show successful eruption from the progenitor. And you can see complex structure are near the center. And I'd like to show, or let me show a movie of this model. Yeah. Oh, okay. So top panel shows rest mass density and lower one shows Lorentz factors. So the outflow injected from this boundary and the outflow keeps on highly collimated structure. Yeah. And initially, the backflow is formed, which is parallel to the injected outflow. And then, complex structure appears. And high relativistic component appears along the axis.
So So this is without rotation, is it correct? Oh,
yeah, this correction doesn't on rotation, just on just two-dimensional correction.
So the initial predictions is just a simply an infinitely thin directed jet.
Yeah. So initially, so parallel.
It's just how that expands depending.
Epsilon and yeah. So in this case, the bow shock drives the progenitor gas to high pressure and high temperature. Then so the high pressure component works to keep the confinement.
So irrespective of your Lorentz factor, you always exit. You always come out of the envelope within 10 seconds.
Oh, Lorentz factor?
I mean, whatever your Lorentz factor is, maximum, you still come out of the envelope. The jet still interacts with the sonic medium in less than 10 seconds.
Yeah. The eruption occurs about 3 seconds in all cases here. But we followed the injection up to 10 seconds. And maximum Lorentz factor component appears for these models. Maximum Lorentz factor component appears during the propagation in the progenitor. But for these cases, maximum Lorentz factor component appears after the eruption, especially near the injection point.
But you said in the beginning that whether you have the helium envelope or not, so not doesn't really matter, but I'm sure it should matter, right? Because that makes up most of your star, in a sense. That makes up most of the radius of your star. So if you remove the helium envelope, your jet will come out much faster and much...
Yeah, of course. So, the effect of helium envelope, I mentioned in numerical setup, is just the feature of the collimated or expanding features. So expanding feature will be shown in later. I mean the feature does not affect it on the helium envelope. That means collimated feature will be shown if the helium envelope doesn't include it.
Rephrase the question slightly differently. Is this what they would call a light jet or a heavy jet? Because the ratio of
the
jet is, which is related to this question,
important. Yeah. Okay. So initially, the density as a bound around the boundaries 10^6 gram per cubic centimeter, and
that's the environment or the jet density.
No, environment. So progenitor gas. So here the radial mass profile of the progenitor.
And the jet density.
And jet densities. So
that's where you showed the
Very
small.
Yeah. So up to 10^5. All models are light jet initially.
But these four models are all less than 10 to the 2 for the jet density.
All these models are up to 10 to the 2. Yeah.
And so it's already collimated by the. You said that you don't need the helium part of the star to collimate it. Is it already collimated when it hits the helium? Or does it collimate even if it's just going through ISM?
Yeah, so these models are shows so collimated features.
But these have helium on top, or is this even before it's hit the helium?
Yeah, so the helium envelope, around here. So the feature is decided on before the helium envelope.
You're saying even if you remove the whole thing completely in your simulation, it won't make that much of a difference.
Yeah. So maximum Lorentz factor is good to agreement with simple formula discussed in the numerical setup, and highly relativistic jet, so for example like this guy would be observed as GRBs later, and mildly relativistic jet is observed, and this guy would be observed as X-ray flashes later. And in collimated outflows, so internal structures are observed. So here's a mass, or red one is mass, and blue one is Lorentz factor profile along the axis, just so in the jet, in the early phase of the dynamics. So here's an unshocked progenitor gas, here's a bow shock. So you can see complex some internal shocks in the jet. And so the discontinuities correspond to internal shocks, and those are so how there are two possibilities to form such internal structures. So one is shear flow instability in the jet itself, and the other possibility is interaction between the jet and backflow here. So backflow comes from head of the jet, and backflow is close to and parallel to the injected jet. So it's kind of Kelvin-Helmholtz instabilities. But we cannot identify which instability is dominant to this internal structures. And we also done so higher resolution calculations. And higher resolution calculation shows similar property of the dynamics. But finer structures appears. So this is the case of normal resolution version. And here is a twice on resolution version. Oh, the resolution is the calculation was done on I'm sorry, I don't remember the exact grid numbers, but a few thousand and a few hundred, but it's not uniform, the logarithm or linear one. So you can see so high final structures, not only here but also here, than that of those of normal resolution version, and so you can see quite final resolutions. And let me move on to other cases. So the case is here, so the slower model, so initial velocity is 0.5 light speed. So you can see expanding feature in every cases. And here's a bow shock here, and reverse shock stays here. Yeah, for the collimated jet case, reverse shock on stays head of the jet. So bow shock and reverse shock moves on very the distance of reverse shock and bow shock doesn't change in as time goes on. But in this case, reverse shock separates from the bow shock as time goes on, as so it is similar to the case of supernormal remnant case. And here's a movie of this case. The outflow expands when the injection occurs. And the reverse shock here and bow shock, so the distance increases as time goes on. So this expansion is, this expansion is quite similar to the spherical supernova explosion. And of course, the maximum Lorentz factor is quite a non-relativistic one, so up to 1.2 or up 1.3. So this is a summary of the flow feature of the collimated and expanding one. So collimated Z has a backflow from the head of the Z, and the expanding shock is just doesn't have such a backflow, and the reverse shock and bow shock separates as time goes on, so like this. And a continuous transition from collimated jet to expanding jet, expanding outflow is observed. So here is a, let me show the series of calculations fixing on specific internal energy and varying initial on velocity Lorentz factor. So here is a result. Often the break happens, so from high velocity injection to slower injection model. So you can see continuous transition from collimated to mildly collimated and expanding features. And so these are density contour panel on the specific internal energy and Lorentz factor planes. So red circles, the models of red circles are quite highly collimated. So the opening angle less than 5 degrees, and blue square models are mildly collimated outflow. So the opening angle is from 5 to 20 degrees, and triangles are expanding model. So the opening angle is larger than 20 degrees. So the same feature is observed on the other series. So fixing specific internal energy to be 1 or 5. In summary, so the feature of the outflow varies from collimated jets to expanding outflow by changing the injected outflow velocity. And highly relativistic and collimated jet would be observed as GRBs. And the mildly relativistic and collimated jet or expanding outflow would be observed as X-ray flashes. And the non-relativistic or expanding outflow would be observed as spherical or supernova explosion. So no associated gamma ray burst or X-ray flashes. And the achieved maximum Lorentz factor depends on the both Lorentz factor and specific internal energy of the injected outflow. And fine structures along the jet are observed in the jet. And there are two possibilities to explain the fine structures. So one is shear flow instability in the jet itself, or nonlinear Kelvin Helmholtz instability, so between jet and backflows. And as future works, formation mechanism of the outflow from the center of the progenitor, this is not fully understood. And also including Newtonian physics, so for example, transport and cooling. And MHD calculations, so magnetized outflow is also interesting. So for example, so for our case, so the power will be, the magnetic energy will be included to total energy. And nucleosynthesis of the explosion is also interesting problem. So where is nickel 56 is synthesized? So in the accretion disk and were in the jet. And after the eruption of the progenitor is also quite interesting. So how the jet expands and so radiative process, sorry, and magnetic field generation and amplification. And afterglow phase is also a challenging problem. So that's all. Thank you for your attention.
Don't you get any instabilities from the interaction on the jet
with
yeah. with the supernova, or with the star, or is it just internal instabilities?
So as we said, so we don't identify the origin of these fine structures, but we observed backflow from the head of the progenitor. So yeah, it is so yeah unstable. For Kelvin Helmholtz instability, but there is a study just on concentrating just on shear flow instability in the jet itself, not on interaction between jet and backflow, and the time scale of this shear flow instability is quite fast, so it could be the origin of this instability, but we cannot identify so which one dominates for the instability.
How far back do you get this backflow? Is it just the outer parts, or is it?
Yeah. As described in this schematic figure, just. The jet on the kinematic energy is converted to thermal energy at the head, and then this thermal dominated plasma thermal energy is converted to kinetic energy again. So and
far back does this backflow reach? Is it just
just surrounding the jet, yeah.
I think the instabilities you're talking about should definitely be seen in the expanding jets at least, right? Which are not going at a very high velocity. You mean between the surface of the jet and the surrounding medium, right? And it's propagating. And you should certainly see shear instabilities out there.
Yeah.
At least in the expanding jet scale.
Oh, we don't such so high fine structures for expanding case. It's just for the collimating jet case.
No, but still, there's always shear between the surface of the jet and the surrounding medium.
Oh, yeah, we don't observe such shear for the case of expanding ground. I'm sorry.
That would only happen with the cocoon, the backflow.
Pardon?
That would happen perhaps with the cocoon or the backflow.
No, but still, you're just going to the density gradient out there. Yeah. So I would expect that you would anyway see. There's a clear density gradient if you show the movement.
Yeah, you mean the discontinuity here?
No, just the surface of the jet and the surrounding.
Surface? Or which surface? Oh.
You mean between the backflow and the surrounding?
Yeah.
But they also have a temperature difference. It's a density difference and temperature difference, but they are in pressure equilibrium.
Yeah,
but okay. You're saying that, well, I guess then we have to know this. Okay.
Because it's created, as correctly said, by conversion of kinetic energy into thermal energy, and you have a radial different.
Well,
essentially, it's pressure driven. So
unless you really have a pressure equilibrium, which I.
Yeah, you must have at some point.
Yeah, but we don't observe backflow for the expanding outflow case.
Well, you MAC this. The main shock.
Yeah, MAC shock.
Does have a radial expansion.
Yeah.
In the cold shock region because it's very hot and it's subsonic.
Uh-huh. Oh, inside of the bow shock?
Yeah, just. No. The bow shock is just the main head on the.
Yeah.
But prior to that, they have a MAC disc, and behind the MAC disc.
Oh, it's, do you mean so contact discontinuity?
Just behind the MAC disc, you have, of course, heating.
Yeah.
Kinetic energy and thermal energy, and that, because it's two dimensional or higher dimension, it's not one dimensional. Yeah. So you have a lateral expansion, which is pressure driven. And that then basically produces step by step behind while the matures. So, yeah, but that reaches a pressure equilibrium.
Yeah, we interested in the formation of the. Internal shocks to explain the variability of the So the we sometimes observe also variabilities in the gamma ray or light curves, so, and internal shock models could explain this time variabilities. But the origin of internal shock doesn't is not discussed so much. So we are here. So we expected the fine structures observed in jet in the jet may be the origin of this internal shock.
Epsilon zero.
Yeah.
It's purely from
the dimensional point of
view, it's a scale of velocity.
Yeah.
And
you have
the
above
and epsilon zero divided by c squared
is
bigger
than
above the Lama.
And
is there something
superluminal? Yeah, the specific internal energy around the unity is a critical point. So, if the so thermal energy is relativistic one or not. So, this.
Yeah,
epsilon
zero is scale of velocity, dimensional.
Velocity?
Velocity, yes. Scale of velocity.
Do you mean sound speed?
I don't know what, but it is a scale, dimensional. So epsilon zero divided by c squared is dimensional less.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So epsilon zero must be square of the square of velocity.
Yeah, so specific internal energy character is the sound velocity.
Rest mass energy. So
yeah.
Yeah. It's
yeah, so this parameter characterizes yeah. Sound velocity of the yeah
I mean if you were going back deeper in, everything is in the thermal energy. There's not much of a gamma, and you're depositing energy however you're doing it. It converts into gamma, and so at 7 × 10⁷ they pick reasonable numbers for possible gammas in thermal energy. But oftentimes thermal energy is the deeper you go in, the thermal energy is dominating the energy, and it has to convert into kinetic energy. In almost any explosion model you would produce. Mm.
In so an explosion model, yes. Yeah. But if you have a linear accelerator, it could be different.
Yeah, that's, yeah, so in astronomy, could imagine some magnetic field that's just accelerating particles, that's true.
That's one, but you could also have a gravitational mechanism.
So no mechanism yet proposed has that. So if Daniel Program does magnetic fields, most of the energy first goes into thermal and then it gets in kinetic. So far the mechanisms proposed are it dominates thermal first and goes into kinetic. Yeah. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Before you leave, how many people